In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, the scripture says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice," and getting back hatred that leads you to action and getting back at folks, "and all guile," that's lying, deception, "and hypocrisies," and "envyings," and "evil speakings." And hypocrisy is talking about saying one thing and doing another. "Envyings" talking about jealousy. "Evil speakings" talking about a bad mouth running people down and talking about bad things. Lay all that stuff aside. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, hypocrisies, envyings, and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word." People of God should desire the word of God and should feed upon the word of God. Need to take that milk so you can go ahead and eat meat someday. You need to know what the word of God says for yourself, not just what the preacher believes. All right? What the church stands for, you need to know it. "As newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious," one of those qualifier statements within the scriptures, you really are saved, aren't you? Okay, verse 4. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men," speaking of Jesus, "to whom coming to the Lord Jesus, as unto a living stone, he is a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Precious. That living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, is precious to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for this opportunity and privilege to worship you. Help us as we look into your word, and Lord, help us to see precious, precious Jesus. He is indeed precious unto us. And Lord, we pray for those that are here and not saved, Lord, that you'd make him precious to them and save them. Help now, we pray. Help us to worship you. Bless as we partake of the supper that the Lord Jesus Christ left us in memorial of his death. And Lord, that everything that's said and done might be to your honor and your glory and your praise. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. See here that Jesus is precious to God Almighty. Jesus is precious to the Father. And if he's precious to the Father, sure, well, he should be precious to us. Amen. He is precious. And listen to this. He says, "If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious," verse number 3. Verse 4, "To whom coming?" We have come to the Lord. The word of God has been preached. The Spirit of God has moved, and we have come to him. "To whom coming as unto a living stone," he is different than any other man. He is that has worked this great thing in building his kind of churches. "To whom coming as into a living stone." You know what? He was disallowed indeed of men. Said, "No, we're not going to use that stone to build." But you know what? He's the cornerstone of the Lord's building, of God's building. And he is precious. "But chosen of God, ordained of God," and this is talking about the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was disallowed of men and rejected in that day of his ministry some 2,000 years ago, but he was chosen of God, signed, sealed, and delivered by God to do this work, to win our salvation, to purchase our salvation, to pay the atonement for us and redeem us, to buy us back from the slave market of sin. He was chosen of God. God put the finger on the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "You're the man to do this, my only begotten Son." And he did it. And he's precious to the Lord. Chosen of God and precious. He's precious to us. "Ye also as lively stones," verse 5, "are built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." That's what we're looking to do this morning, isn't it? Oh, there is the house here. But you know what the house that matters is the house that is Olmsted Baptist Church, that's been built by the Lord Jesus out of people that he saved and added to this church. Whether this building is here Wednesday or coming next week, the Lord tarries his return, the church of the Lord is still here. The church is still here. And we can meet here, we can meet in the parking lot, we can meet out in the fellowship hall, we can meet at the parsonage, we can meet at your house. And we have been built up this spiritual house. And you know the stone that's right there at the corner is that precious stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Goes on to say in verse number 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. This was prophesied that the Lord would do this in building his church and sending his redeemer for his people. And he that believeth on this precious stone shall not be confounded, won't be confused, won't be ashamed, won't be blown around by the wind and every doctrine. Everything is settled and steadfast on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is precious. Precious indeed, precious to the Father, and indeed this chief cornerstone is precious to us. We believe on Him. Are you trusting in doctrine, dogma, words of elders, religion, a denomination, or are you trusting in Jesus? Trusting in Jesus. We're set and steadfast upon Him. Verse number 7. Unto you therefore which believe. He's precious to the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He indeed loves His Son. He loved His Son. But that was the only way that we could be saved. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. He's precious to us, isn't He? He's precious to the Father. And yet the Father did not withhold Him, and He came and He and made the atonement for us and did this great work of building His church, His churches. And He is precious to the Father, offered by the Father, sent by the Father to do this. And when we see what the Lord has done for us, as the brother writes, He is precious. Can you hear these words coming from this man? It's kind of out of character from the way that he was. But I tell you what, he's so filled up and so tore up and so helped out and so troubled and so encouraged and so redeemed and saved by the Lord. Remember, Peter has been told he's going to die for the Lord's sake, not die a death of old age. But he's going to die a death in martyrdom for the Lord. And he's saying, I want to remind you, our Lord is precious. Our Lord is precious. He says in verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, we believe in Christ and the Lord Jesus, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Let's read it again. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. If you deny Christ, you don't believe, you are disobedient, a child of God even can become backslidden and wayward and cold. We become cold because the Lord Jesus is not precious to us. Our Lord Jesus needs to be precious to us. Is it Olmsted Baptist Church that's precious to you? Well, you are precious to me, but you're precious to me because of the Lord Jesus. The doctrine and the Word of God, the Scripture, is that precious to us? Well, it should be, and indeed it is, but it's so because of our precious, precious Jesus, our Lord and Savior. These word precious, here earlier in the chapter, verses 4 and verses 6, they're talking about, and the word that is used is one that's more leaning towards honor. Okay, honor. He's precious from the standpoint of honor and in reputation. And that's the way it was with the Lord. The Lord looked upon his son as he loved him and he cared for him and he honored him. He told him, he said, sit here on your throne till I make all your enemies your footstool. He went and accomplished what the Father told him to do, and he went and did that. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father now. He's precious because he's his son, and he loves him and he honors him, and he's going to make him king of all. The Father is. But then we come down here to verse number 7 when it's talking about you and me. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. This is talking more, this word is talking about and leaning more to His value. Jesus paid the price. Oh, we honor Him. and we love him. We have respect towards him, but he paid my sin debt. There was no other one that could pay the debt for my sin. And he is precious to me because he paid the debt for my sin willingly and freely for the likes of me and for you that are here and saved. Indeed, he is precious, isn't he? We honor him and we extol him. We praise him. And he is precious to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the brother speaks over here about our Lord Jesus. And as we bring this to home, he's precious to the Father and he's precious to us because of the price that he's paid for us and what he has done for us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, we read this: Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Our Lord Jesus is precious, and the faith in which we have in him because of him is precious indeed. Well, what greater possession do you have other than the Lord Jesus Christ, having him, than faith in him? What else can stand? What else can compare? Certainly nothing on this earth. Even our loved ones. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my parents. I love them dearly. But there's no one more precious than our Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus, and faith that I've been given in him. I possess it now. I have it. I have faith in him, not of works of righteousness that I have done, but because of him, what he has done for me. He came and did so for me. Like precious faith, a servant and apostle of Jesus, he writes, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Precious, precious faith in the Lord. Again, this word is a little bit different than the others, but speaks about honoring, honor of the Lord. Precious faith. You can have faith in a lot of things. You can have faith in a lot of people. But faith in Christ unto salvation, what is there more precious than that? What is there more precious than that? Before the Lord saved me, I was blind, dumb, dead, and undone. And then he brought the word and the truth and a witness and the Spirit to me and saved me and gave me precious faith in him. You know what? Before the Lord saved me, I had religion. You know, but religion is cold. Religion won't speak to you. Religion won't comfort you. Religion won't hold you up. But Jesus will. When the Lord saved me, and he had me, and I had him. Oh, indeed, he is precious, and the faith that we have in him is precious, knowing it's a gift from God. But it sure is good. You know, the storms of life and the tragedy, the climacticness of life, the things that would come upon us and calamity and everything, faith in the Lord, that he's in control, that he can change, that he can give grace, that he can help in everything, in every way. It's precious faith, isn't it? Now, fellas in the jail, I've told you before, they say, well, you just got to have faith. You just got to have faith. No, you need Jesus. And you need faith in him. Not just this thing of faith. Not faith in self. Not sheer will, grit, and determination. But faith in our Lord that has done something and is doing something and will do something for those that rest and trust in him. Precious faith. Do you have precious faith this morning? Our brother goes on and he writes here, grace and peace be multiplied, verse 2, unto you through the knowledge of our God. I'm sorry. I got the wrong. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. And so Peter is using this word over and over again. 1 Peter chapter 1. Precious faith that we have. You know what? This faith is going to be tried. It's good for this faith to be tried. He writes here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a stranger scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, setting aside obedience and sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he rose, we will raise. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, a body that's never going to rot or die. A mansion in glory that I dare say we probably won't frequent much because our bent will be to be with the Lord, be with him. The Lord has all that ordered and it'll be great, whatever it is. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, verse 5, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Him wrapping all this up and how this old earth and this old way in the universe and our part in that, our place in that, we don't have to worry about this earth being destroyed. We don't have to worry about the United States of America being destroyed or the nations of this world being destroyed. Our faith, our hope, our confidence, our expectation is in the Lord Jesus, and he will take care. He'll do all things well. You're worried about the bank account. You're worried about the retirement. You're worried about the house. You're worried about this. It's all going to burn up, but Jesus isn't. And you know what? We're all going to die if Jesus puts off his return. He'll be on time, but we're all going to die and you can't pack that stuff with you. Oh, we use it and we need to use it, but it's not precious, is it? Jesus is what's precious. Amen. And so, that salvation, faith through into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our salvation complete when we have that new body like Christ. We'll even maybe speak on that this afternoon. Verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice now though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Got a lot of temptations about, a lot of temptations, a lot of things to be worried about, a lot of things to fret about, a lot of things coming at us to where we would fret or we would be tore up or we would maybe despair. What should we do? Understand this. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Faith needs to be tried. Faith needs to be proved. And when my faith is tried, when my faith is proved, when I have these temptations, who do I resort to? Self? You? Oh, certainly you can pray. My brothers and sisters in Christ can pray for me. Indeed. But you understand what I'm saying? It's the Lord that's our help, isn't it? And the trial of our faith, when our faith gets loaded up, our faith gets tried, our faith gets squeezed, and because our faith is in Christ, it perseveres. But if the faith's in me, it'll crumble. If my faith's in you, it'll get squashed. If my faith is in the government, it'll burn down and go away with this world. But you know what? The trying of faith in Christ is a precious, precious thing. Because it shows it's to the honor and glory and praise of our Lord. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know, gold being refined is really something amongst men. But faith being tried and standing and persevering in Christ, that's really something to the Lord. And that's to his honor and glory and praise. Listen to this. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, look how good Brother Jim did in standing up under that pressure and that great trial. No, it doesn't have to do with me. Look how good the Lord is and my Savior is that lifted me up and helped me and sustained me through that thing. Precious trial of faith unto his honor and his glory indeed. Something that Peter would use that word precious. You ever think he caught that load of fish and got it up there in the boat and said, oh, what a precious net, John. Don't you think that this net is precious? I just don't see him being that kind of a fella, do you? Andrew, this is really a precious knife set that you gave me here to cut up fish. Yeah, he's not that kind of a fella. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, when it comes to all things related to the Lord Jesus, remember, it was Peter that said, wasn't it Peter that said, we've left everything and followed you. What are we going to have? Peter was concerned about the stuff, and he was concerned about his station. Remember how the disciples, the apostles, fussed about one another, who's going to be top dog? Everybody naturally wants to be top dog. But when he was converted, when the Lord put the squeeze on him and prayed for him and his faith didn't fail, his faith was in the Lord, and he was stripped down of everything and he came through that, he says, I'm looking to live for my Lord. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Isn't it great that the Lord doesn't quit us? Isn't it good? I'm glad. I'm worth quitting. But the Lord doesn't quit us. We need to see and understand how precious he is. Our faith is precious. The trying of our faith in him is precious. I tell you what, there's blessing that abounds there in that. In this same chapter, we come down here in verse number 13 and we read, he says, because of what I've been talking to you about, we don't have time to look at it. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, get yourself together in Christ. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace, the favor that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I got some real help and I got some real grace and I got some real blessing by Jesus in his fullness being revealed to me. Remember, this is a man that saw the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and then ran when the fellows came there to get the Lord. Those men came to get the Lord in Gethsemane. See, we don't need visions. We don't need signs. We need our Lord Jesus, and we need faith and communication and a relationship that grows stronger and stronger with him. Verse 14, as obedient children, obedience is always the way of escape for temptation. Not fashioning yourselves according to former desires or lust and your ignorance when you didn't know better. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Thinking, talking, and doing. Thinking, talking, and doing before this world and before our Lord. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain, your empty conversation and way of life received by the tradition of your fathers. You did what daddy did. You know what? Just because daddy did it doesn't mean it's right. If what daddy did was after the way of the world, it doesn't make it right. It's not right. You've been delivered from that. You weren't redeemed by stuff out of this earth. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed, verse 18, with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, verse 19, but you were rather redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Yeah, amen. That deserves an amen, doesn't it? Precious blood of Christ. His precious blood. Our precious Savior, precious to the Father. He's indeed precious to us. Our faith in him is precious. The trying of our faith is precious. All because of him and his shed blood. His precious shed blood. Of anyone that ever deserved anything, our Lord Jesus should have never been crucified. Abused and beaten, killed. His blood being there being shed in Pilate's judgment hall as they scourged our Lord and tore open his back and his ribs and that crown of thorns on his head and that blood running down. No doubt blood possibly even dripping there on the streets of Jerusalem as they took Pilate sent him to Herod, and Herod sent him back to Pilate, and then they whipped our Lord and they abused him so. He did not deserve that, because he is the precious King of glory. He's the image of God. He's the showing forth of God physically that at times in the scriptures and when it's time for us, these eyes can see him. When you see God, you see Jesus Christ. And indeed, his blood is precious. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper this morning. And this is for our church, so those that are members of Olmsted Baptist Church. We've got folks here visiting, members of other churches. But this is for us, and that's the way it's one of the things that are distinctive about Baptist. If you're here visiting with us, you're welcome to stay. We want you to stay. You can worship the Lord by observing this church, observe the Lord's Supper, okay? Because we're following what's right. So you're welcome to stay if you want to. We think of that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given this ordinance by the Lord, just as we've been given the ordinance of baptism, and Russellville Baptist Church will be observing that ordinance here this afternoon. We've been given these ordinances, and they're not salvation, and these ordinances are not salvation. Nobody by observing the Lord's Supper will be saved by doing that. No, nobody